John 3:16, everyone knows that.
Mm-hmm.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Mm.
So, break it down. The world. Mm-hmm. Who's the world? Like all the different countries. Break it down smaller. All the cities. Break it down smaller. The individuals. Break it down to you. So, for God so loved you. You won't perish, but you'll have everlasting life.
Yes. To understand that for the first time, it's life-changing.
Exactly.
You realize the personal nature of salvation. All right, Armando, good friend of mine, and he's been coming to Calvary Community Church for a long time, and I'm sure he'll tell you all about that, but he signed up for an interview on Bibleline, and I can't wait to hear it. Share with us, where'd you come from?
Well, I was born and raised in Chicago, okay. Illinois. That's my hometown. Born into a Catholic family, and my family's all from Mexico. They all immigrated to Chicago. I was part of the first generation that was born here in the United States. And, you know, just living my life, you know, as a kid, raised in the Catholic Church. And then there are a couple of things that shaped me growing up in a negative way that pushed me away from God. So when I was growing up, did believe in Jesus, believed in God, believed in heaven, believed in hell, believed in Satan. That's part of the Catholic teachings. So I did believe in all those things. But the way I was instructed by the Catholic Church, you know, started turning me away from God. Because first off, I was bullied from first grade all the way to eighth grade when I was there. So, and going to teachers, and actually most of my teachers were nuns or priests.
Mm.
And well, boys will be boys, you know. That was basically it. So just if they're teasing you, bullying you, you must have done something wrong, you know, to bring it on. So really didn't get any much help there.
And this is why you're still in Chicago, right?
Yeah, that's why when I was in Chicago. Because that's from first grade was like from 77, 78, and I graduated 86.
Okay.
So as I'm just going along, doing everything I'm told to do, you know, going to Catholic church, going to mass, but it was just going through the motions as years kept on going by.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what's the point of all this? You know, it really didn't make too much sense. First off, one of the nuns would tell me, because I did do a report on our history, where we came from. So I did one on Mexico, my family, my country. And they said, well, one of the things that we practice or celebrate instead of Halloween is the Day of the Dead, October 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, well, that's actually a pagan tradition. So anyone who practices that, you know, that doesn't, you know, you're all going to go to hell. And I go, well, we don't practice it. That's just part of the culture. Well, yeah, it just doesn't matter. It's part of the culture of being Mexican. So just by being Mexican, I'm going to hell.
Mm.
So that's like, well, how can I get out of it?
Yeah.
And I said, well, you got to pray. You got to say all these prayers, pray the rosary.
The Hail Marys.
Yeah, Hail Marys.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, if I'm already condemned, you know, what's the point of me even trying since there's no way of me getting out of being to come? I'm going to hell.
So you're like looking for clear answers and you're not really getting much.
And then everything they did wrong, like, okay, well, if I got a bad grade on a test, well, you didn't study enough. You're going to hell. It's just go to hell, get all if we didn't fall in line. And
how old were you around this time?
That was like when 10 all the way up till I graduated.
Okay.
But for me, things stick with me, especially from people from authority when they say something. So that stuck with me, and it kind of turned me against myself. Like, I hated myself because, well, I'm Mexican. I'm going to hell, you know. And then I stopped speaking my language, so now I don't even speak Spanish anymore. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And then it got to the point where, like, I didn't even like my name, so I'd call me Doug. I just wanted a white name, you know, like Tom or David, but I also wanted to be invisible. So just, I wanted a name where, you know, I just wanted to be left alone because of all the teasing and bullying I got. So Doug, that's a pretty invisible name. People would just say it, and then I'll disappear. Mm. You know, so a lot of times I'd be in class, and they'd mark me absent even though I was there. So I was pretty good hiding.
Wow. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, but it was all just trying to survive.
Yeah.
And then after a while, you know, I hate to say it, but I did, suicidal thoughts were in my mind, even into high school. But, and I actually tried to attempt suicide, but out of my heart really wasn't it. I went through the motions because I tried to like hang myself with a jump rope, but I didn't tie a knot. It was just a slip and then just jumped off a stool. So like, wow. I knew I wasn't going to kill myself, but I just went through the motions because I was in so much pain and agony and just suffering. But I was never taught to go to the Bible.
Yeah.
This was just a textbook.
Wow.
Not a resource, you know, to go to for relief, you know. So I was basically alone, spiritually alone, you know. Go to, even my parents say, well, don't worry about it. Boys will always be teasing you. Boys will be boys. You know, that was the thing. So I was like, well, I'm by myself, essentially.
Yeah.
And then after that, let's see, about 1985 when I was in seventh grade, because I also had fear in me. Mm-hmm. I was like, whole body, top to bottom, fear, afraid of everything. Mm. I had a lot of opportunities, even in my adult life, you know, a lot of opportunities to do things. Because of the fear I had, I would just say no, you know, or not go to it. So I was like just on an island. And there's that story, like the anecdote people say, well, I'm on an island. Oh, God, save me. You know, send something. You know, come and save me from this island, this desert island. Here comes a boat. You know, hey, we're here to save it. No, I'm praying to God. God will save me. And then the boat goes by. Helicopter comes by. Hey, we can save you. No, I'm praying to God. God will save me. That was me. I was stuck on the island and like, well, I'm praying to God, like, help me.
Yeah.
You know, get me, rescue me.
Right.
But since I didn't know the Bible, didn't know God, didn't know Jesus, so was alone.
You knew about those things, but just from the organized tradition of the Catholic religion.
Yeah, they put me on a wrong direction, wrong path.
Yeah.
And how I explain the Catholic Church is everyone says, well, from one point of view, the church is higher than God or Jesus, which you can say that, but how I look at it is that God is so high, like in outer space, and Jesus like on Mount Everest, the top of Mount Everest. Mm-hmm. We can't reach Jesus, and then we can't reach God. So the only way to get there is like the church was on the base ground. Mm. But the church, the Catholic Church anyways, it's like you take the DMV and put it inside an airport. So there's so much red tape, so much bureaucracy.
Yeah.
And then they send you in all these different directions. There's impossible to know and reach Jesus, to know him, and then to know God.
Wow.
And they put me on a wrong path. You know, so like, okay, before you even get to Jesus, you gotta do all these like red tape, like you know, I had they call the seven sacraments. You gotta be baptized, communion, confession, confirmation.
Right.
And then you have to do, before you even ask help from God or Jesus, say the prayers. You got to confess your sins, say all these Hail Marys, say the rosary, and then do all this, a lot of work-based stuff.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, if I'm already condemned just for being Mexican, what's the point of me doing even works, you know?
Yeah.
And that was when I was a little kid. As I got older and grew mentally, like, okay, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, something's not adding up here.
Yeah. But then, you know, I turned away from church and all church in general, and then also turned my back on God. Because I always thought, here I am. I was always cry at night, praying, like, help me, God. Give me strength. You know, give me knowledge. Take the fear away.
Yeah.
Because when I get in a situation, I wouldn't know how to get out of it.
Right.
So I'd just get beat up, yelled at, you know, put down. Told I was worthless.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, I start believing it.
Yeah.
And well, God, I'm praying to you. Help me.
Yeah.
And I wake up the next day, all right. See these stories. People are like, I'm at my rock bottom. I prayed to God to let Jesus come to me. And I'm changed. And I'm like, never. That's what I wanted, but never happened.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, the story when in the Bible, when Jesus got crucified and the apostles are all hiding together waiting from the Roman soldiers, and the Holy Spirit came down to them. Like, that's what I wanted, you know. But again, wrong teaching, wrong direction, not knowing the Bible, understanding it.
Right.
Well, obviously that's going to happen to me. I'm not an apostle. And like, okay. You know,
yeah.
Now that I know, okay. But so I just turned my back on God, turned my back on church and all church,
mm-hmm.
our religion. And I was just carrying this weight by myself, alone.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Depression, guilt, fear, anxiety. And fear was the big thing that I always had.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like I said, once I only made it through high school, became an adult, started working, going to college, and like, well, I wanted to go away to college, you know, just, you know.
Like fresh start?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was afraid.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how to do things. I don't know how to cook, don't know how to clean, how to wash clothes, how to be an adult, basically. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to stay close to home.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I had other job opportunities. Well, yeah, I can get this job here, but, you know, I got to travel or move out of state or, you know, move to another city. It's a good opportunity, but, you know, what if I mess up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so all that fear just held me back. And it wasn't until, like, 2008. So from 1978 to 2008, I was basically without God.
Wow.
When in my mind, I was without God. God was always there. I just didn't recognize him.
Hmm. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah. And it wasn't until I met my wife, Grace, who actually, we met online. Mm-hmm. And we just started out as just friends talking back and forth. But she planted the seed. And there was a Grace conference in Chicago in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time we were getting serious at the time. And she said, well, her father is going to be at this Grace conference, which is in just outside of Chicago, along with her brother and her brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, well, it's a good time to, you know, meet the family.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, that was kind of nervous, but yeah, you know what? I should meet the family to see if I should, if, you know, what happens. If this is serious, go forward, or if their family is, you know, crazy, you know, get out.
Yeah.
But when I went to that Grace conference, you know, that's when I got the clear gospel,
yeah.
Understood what was going on, you know, found out that God didn't turn his back on me. He was always there.
Hmm.
I just couldn't see it because I had wrong teaching, wrong direction, and I couldn't see.
Right.
And that whole time from first grade till when I graduated in high school, like in 1990, and the Bible was just a textbook.
Right.
So when I was in pain, when I was in suffering, well, go to the Bible. Never went to the Bible. Never read it. Was never, you know, once I went to the Grace conference, I go, and my wife, Grace, always says, Bible's our shield and our sword.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And he goes, have you ever read anything in the Bible? And he goes, when you're hurting or suffering or looking for something to give you strength. No.
Mm.
And he goes, well, what do you expect to happen? So I tell people when I talk about that, it's like, well, say for example, you know, if you're getting bullied, physically beaten up, say, I want to go to the gym, sign up so I could learn self-defense so I don't get beat up.
Mm.
Sign up for that class. All right, I got my membership. All right, next day I get beat up again. He goes, then keep on getting beat up. And he goes, well, I ask you, you got that membership. Have you ever gone to any classes?
Mm.
No. Did you read an instruction manual how to do something? No. Did you do any exercise to build up your strength? No. Well, that's the same thing here.
Yeah.
Don't read the Bible. You know, you're not going to get stronger in your faith. You know, don't go to church on Sunday to get, you know, clear instruction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't do work, not to get in heaven, but to just work to grow, you know, coming on Bible classes on Wednesdays or after on run on Sunday in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you expect to happen?
Yeah. And I tell people all the time, it's like what James says. It's like the man, you can know what God's word says, which calls you a hearer, But the difference between, you know, spiritual growth and a lack of spiritual growth is, do you do what you learn? That's the big difference. A lot of people never take that next step. They hear, they know, they own a lot of this in their home, on their phones, all that. But they never actually translate that from knowledge to actual action. Like, I'm doing what would promote spiritual growth. That's a good analogy about the gym membership. I'll have to pocket that one, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
You might hear it. I'll have to credit you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, good. I hope so.
Yeah. So you went to the Grace Conference.
Yeah, and so that's...
Then you heard the clear gospel.
So it's not through works. It's through what Jesus did for us. God came down, became flesh, died on the cross for us, 3 days rose again.
Amen.
Took our sin, and he paid the price for us.
Yes.
But I still couldn't understand it. So even though I said, okay, just on faith, I believe. My faith at that time was maybe like 10% from 2008. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I moved down here in 2010, then I started coming to Calvary to church, and then, because in 2008, I was still watching, in Chicago, I was watching Dr. Lindstrom.
Yeah, Dr. Hank Lindstrom.
Yeah. Oh, he was fantastic. He's a pastor
here for a long time.
Yes. And then when I started coming, when I moved down here in 2010, I started coming to church off and on, but then started coming regularly. Mm-hmm. And that 10% started growing and growing and growing. So now I'm at 100%.
Mm.
I mean, you can't talk me out of it. I know where I'm going when I die.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm going to heaven. Like before, it was like, I'm not even going to heaven. I know that much. And when I was a kid and even a young adult, like, well, if not going to heaven, at least I don't want to go to hell.
Right.
So I was like, so I try to do good works, you know, just be nice, as they were saying. You know, didn't do anything wrong, didn't kill anybody, so at least I won't go to hell. At least I hope not.
Yeah, I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I was still, always used to joke around, too, because I was also an altar boy, too, when I was in grade school. I always used to joke around, oh, yeah, I could kill somebody, but I got so many bonus points, I can still go to heaven first class.
Oh.
And...
well, and that's how the system was teaching, you know.
Yeah, it's like I could pay my way if I say so many Hail Marys, say how many rosaries, you know.
That's what Martin Luther nailed to the, that was one of his 99 reasons that he nailed to the door was these, I can't think of it off the top of my head, it starts with an I, but the indulgences, I think, where it's like pass around a plate. It's like, have you been unfaithful? Are you a bad businessman? Are you a liar? Whatever. Just give the Catholic Church your money. And we'll take care of it for you, you know?
Yeah,
we'll pay
exactly.
for it. Yeah, and so you can, like, kind of put it away, a sin savings account, where it's like, oh, well, I'll just draw from my savings account for all the bad things that I do.
I know. And then,
yeah.
And then, you know, when I was in high school, when I stopped being an altar boy, you know, I still had to go to church because I still live with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go to church, but I would stay in the back, and I had my little portable TV, and I'd be watching the football game in the back. Anyway. The touchdown, amen, hallelujah. And I would only stay there like maybe 15, 20 minutes. I would get the bulletin from the church.
Yeah.
And then I'd go to my friend's house, lived a block away, and I'd play some video games and then come back home. Mm. Oh, yeah, church is great.
Yeah.
You know, but I just had no more use for it because I thought, okay, once I got to that adult stage, I was like, yeah, this is wrong instruction, wrong direction. None of what they're saying, you know, is making any sense.
Would it be fair to say, like, you were starting to see through, like, you could see it for just being a system or an organization? There wasn't really any truth in it.
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah. I said, like, it was like that DMV example. Yeah. Just a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of red tape.
Yeah.
You know, you had priests, bishops, cardinals, archbishops, you know, all these different levels.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
well, it's like an organization, like a business.
Yeah. And but once I went to the Grace Conference and then was told the simple gospel, it was so simple, it was like, this can't be right. There's got to be a catch.
Right.
Yeah. Because how...
A lot of people respond that way.
Yeah. Especially for me, because I thought, well, because when I looked at myself, I'm like, well, I'm, you know, not deserving of it. And we aren't. None of us are.
That's right. Amen.
But I thought because of what I was thinking or taught... So I always looked down on myself, had that self-loathing, had guilt.
Right.
I mean, my soul was twisted and out of shape. I'm like, well, even if God, you know, saved me. Well, even myself, I said, well, I don't even deserve it. Even if it's a free gift, I don't deserve that gift. So I was kind of like not accepting it.
Right.
But then I started, and I have it here. It's at the Grace Cross when they actually broke it down for me. John 3:16, everyone knows that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So break it down, the world. Who's the world? Like all the different countries. Break it down smaller, all the cities. Break it down smaller, the individuals. Break it down to you. So for God so loved you, you won't perish but you'll have everlasting life.
Yes. To understand that for the first time, it's life-changing.
Exactly.
You realize the personal nature of salvation.
But it took me a while to understand that. I mean, because I'm like, well, no, there's got to be a catch.
Yeah.
There's something I got to be doing. It just can't be that simple. That's why, like, when I first said I believed in 2008, it was like 10%. But now, after learning it, reading it, hearing it, and seeing other examples, like, wait a minute, I do deserve this. I mean, it is a free gift. It's not I'm not excluded from that.
Right.
Even though everything I've done wrong, all the thoughts I've had, you know, they're bad, you know.
God offers a full payment for our sin. All of it.
So that's when I finally, like, okay. From 1990, when I graduated high school, all the way to 2008, I wasn't looking for anything, but in a way, I was like, but I was looking for the truth. I wasn't looking for a religion. I wasn't looking for a church, but I was looking for the truth. And I didn't, like, people come up to me like, oh yeah, you know, even though they may, their intentions were good, you know, for a grace church, say, oh yeah, where are you going to go when you die? Like, well, I didn't want to hear that message at that time. It's like, and another analogy I use is like, if you see someone has a broken leg and say, well, you need Jesus. Well, yeah, I do, but my leg is broken. That's not helping me right now. And I was broken, you know, emotionally and spiritually. And they're saying, well, you need Jesus. Well, I do, you know, but what the message was not what I was needing at that time, or I wasn't hearing it.
Right.
Yeah, because what I wanted was relief, you know, an explanation why things were going on, what's going on. But again, God, and I thought God wasn't there, but he was there, but due to wrong instruction, wrong direction, didn't see him.
Yeah. I think that's what's so dangerous about, very specifically, the Catholic Church. It's very formulaic. That's the way I look at it. It's kind of like, just the other day, I was talking to Trent about this off camera earlier today. I went to Walmart over there off of Gun Highway.
Yeah.
And I'm looking through the candle section that had clearance going on. Love candles, man. They're just like, you can smell a candle and be like, oh, it takes you back to a specific memory when you were a kid or whatever. But I looked at the Catholic section. They have one. It's like all the different candles for the saints and stuff. And I don't know why, you know, Kylo's looking at the clearance section and stuff. So I was just kind of meandering like a husband does, I guess. And I'm looking and I grab one of these, and for the first time I turn it around. And I look on the back, because what intrigued me was, I don't know if it was Spanish or a different language. I'm going to guess it was Spanish, but they had a Spanish prayer and an English prayer, like a translation of that prayer. And I saw all these different, like, to St. Jude, to St. Anthony, and this little baby thing. But all of these prayers at the end, what I noticed was, in parentheses, it said, concentrate on your desires. Like, concentrate on basically what you want to happen, and then you say amen. And I just realized, like, looking at the stock of the shelves, like, there were some candles, they weren't there anymore. They were out of stock. And it's 2023, you know, and for all intents and purposes, like, this is still affecting people. They've grown up, they've accepted the teachings of the Catholic Church, and they think, like, if I had a bad day or didn't get this promotion at work, I'll go burn a candle to St. Jude and pray asked God. There was one of them, I think it was St. Jude's Candle, where it said, I want to see sudden and noticeable blessings in my life. And it's kind of like, yikes. Yeah. Really? Like, what are you asking God to do here? Like, he's not the genie from Aladdin, you know?
And that's how I thought, too. You know, I said my prayers as a wish. Like, you know.
That's a good way to put it, as a wish, yeah.
Yeah, I wish he would take this pain away. I wish tomorrow when I wake up, I won't going to be suffering or anything like that. No more torment. But that's not how it works.
No, as a matter of fact, Jesus tells us, you're going to suffer. You need to expect it. But you were given comfort. And even in the day of our death, if you've believed on me, you have eternal life, and you're going to be raised up at the last day.
Exactly. I mean, when people say, well, so you're saved. You're not going to go to heaven. You know where you're going to, I mean, you're going to heaven. You're not going to go to hell. But are you still in pain and suffering? And he goes, well, yes. You know, I still suffer from depression. I still have guilt and resentment or regret. But now I don't have to carry that weight alone.
Amen.
You know, because before I was carrying that full weight where I didn't need to.
Yes.
And then if I do carry that weight, you know, I'm not by myself. And again, right here, resource.
Yes.
Read the Bible, get clear thought, you know, say a proper prayer, not just a wish. Nope, just take it away.
Right.
You know, because pain is going to be, that's part of life, you know, so it's not going to go away on its own, you know.
Right.
So.
And even as we experience joy, as we walk with the Lord, there are outside forces. We know from Ephesians 6, when Grace was telling you it's our sword and our shield. That reminds me of Ephesians 6, where it's like, we are going to face the wiles of the devil, spiritual wickedness in high places, and there's no amount of wishing or recipe prayer that will make that stuff go away. I mean, it's going to be there. We have to learn how to manage it. But when you actually try what the Catholic Church says, you find out it's a bunch of nonsense. It's just stuff to keep you busy from actually going to the truth. Pray this prayer, do this thing, and it will happen. And if it doesn't, well, you didn't do it hard enough. You didn't have enough faith. And all the while, this is nowhere. This is nowhere.
Yeah,
and exactly. You just end up like spiraling out of control.
And then I know a lot of people who grew up in the Catholic Church leave.
Yeah.
Just because of that. And you're like, you know what? If I'm already condemned and there's nothing to do about that, then what's the point of it all?
Yeah.
And then... And if they do go to church, we used to call them Christers. They only go to church during, for Christmas and Easter.
I heard one time about Catholics. I mean, this is not the Rail on Catholics podcast, but we're talking about it. I heard there's a lot of CEO Catholics. You've probably heard this too. Christmas, Easter only. Yes. And I was like, that's really good. Not because I want to make fun of those people, but just because it's pretty accurate for a lot of people that are raised Catholic. It's like, I go to Christmas, I do the Lent thing, and then I show up for Easter, and I've done my Catholic responsibilities. And they know that the Mass is open, and the priest will hear them, and but that there's no salvation there. They don't teach what the Bible teaches about a man being in a right standing with God.
Yeah, exactly. And then coming to Calvary, then after listening and watching Pastor Lindstrom, and then Pastor Arnold, and then now you, always bringing it back home. It's not anything that we can do that will save us.
Right.
You know, it's through our faith through Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's how we believe in him.
I think about what you said when you said when you first heard the gospel, you're like 10% in, you know? You're like, yeah, I hear you, but I'm not sure, because you had this past experience in teaching that was still... It wasn't, you weren't in it, but it was prevalent. It was one of the reasons why you had like walked away from any kind of organized religion. And I think that's a lot of people. I've told the story before, and you've heard me say it in church, and I don't know if I've ever mentioned it on a show, but we've had people come to church to Calvary specifically under all three of the pastors so far, Dr. Lindstrom, Dr. Arnold, and now myself. And they took 20 years to trust Christ. Because they had one or two major issues in their mind that they kind of sat in judgment of God Like, how could you be loving if X, Y, and Z are still happening? If these things are still true, then you're not a real loving God. I remember having a conversation with a person like that, and it was 20 years. I would see this person all the time, almost every Sunday. And I would never have thought they're not saved. But they had yet to put their trust in Christ. And then when they had their questions answered and when they saw the nature of where these things are coming from, so on and so forth, they put their trust in Christ. It would be wrong for us to assume, well, everybody who comes to Calvary, they understand it. Because some people don't. Some people don't. And it takes that repetition. I learned in Bible college, repetition is theological mucilage. I mean, I'm even surprised I can repeat it to you because I couldn't for many years. But all that means is it's glue. You got to keep throwing it on the wall and more will stick for people. It's like advertisements. People have to see something like over 7 times before they actually go to the website or even think about buying the product or whatever it is. So I like that you mentioned that because we do need to be constantly reminded why we're even in this position. If it was not for the free gift of everlasting life that we have received by faith, we would be just kind of wandering around doing nothing with our lives of any value to God.
Yeah, and then I tell people, like, once you believe and you're saved, again, that's not going to take the pain away. There's going to still be pain, still be suffering.
Yeah.
But there are things, you know, you're not going to be alone.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so unbelievable, you know, that God is with you.
Yes.
And a long time, you know, like they don't see it. Like, I didn't see it, too, because there were a lot of times, like I said, you know, that fear, you know, prevented me from seeing God, or seeing those opportunities, or they were there, or afraid to take them. Like, if I did this one thing, well, it'll take me out of this pain, take me out of that position where I'm in torment or suffering, you know, like a job that just I could not stand or something like that. And then also then, how God puts you in some places where you're like, he can use you, but you don't see it. You don't see his plan.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a lot of Bible characters that had the same situation.
Because, you know, because I still had to grow
right.
as an individual and as a saved person.
Right.
So he put me into a call center. And so, you know, going back a little bit, so when I was a kid, I was very introverted, you know, very shy, you know, always afraid. So I couldn't, like, talk on the phone. You know, if the phone rang, I would never answer because I don't know who's on the other end.
Right.
You know, caller ID helped. Like, oh, okay, good. So I know who that person is. I can talk to them.
Right.
If I were to go out, like, to a fast food place, if it was a McDonald's out of my neighborhood, I couldn't order the food. I mean, I just couldn't talk.
Yeah.
I had to have one of my friends order it for me. Or I could drive through. I could do a drive through because there's no face. I just talked to the box.
Right.
But so I was not a people person. You know, I was not outgoing. Did not want to talk. So when I moved from Chicago to Tampa, first job, call center.
Talking to people all day, every day.
And that's where my faith grew, and that's where I exercised those muscles.
Yeah.
Faith, you know, came in. So, like, okay, God, this is going to be a horrible day. I already know it. So, I'm not alone. You're here with me. All right. We're going to get through this.
Right.
You know. And I'm like, hello. I made it. End of the day, I'm still alive.
Yeah.
You know.
I think you and I worked at the same center.
Yes.
At one point.
We did.
Just, I different think same company too. Different department. Yeah. That'll definitely sharpen you right there.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
you know.
Patience is a virtue. They're not lying.
But, I mean, I grew, you know.
Yeah.
And got stronger because then they made me not a leader supervisor, but. Almost made me what they call a specialist at that time. So I had all the powers of a supervisor. So I helped in training, you know, new hires, even helped train managers.
Oh, so you're definitely learning how to talk with people.
Yeah. So by then they're like, okay, we can't shut them up now. And so people like the new hires be crying, oh, I can't do this by myself. Like, all right, calm down. I know your fear. I know what you're going through. You're not alone. And anything you're doing in life, you know, God is always with you. Mm. You know, and I try to give them the clear gospel, but you know, it's kind of frowned upon at the workplace, but I mean, God puts you where you need to be.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's another thing too, just being open, recognizing where you're at, what God wants you to do.
Yes. I think a lot of people would benefit from hearing that, because at least I know, and I was talking to Pastor Kakuza about this the last time we were in here shooting an interview. It's like a lot of people know the truth, but they are not growing because they're not doing. So then they begin to think like, there's something specifically wrong with them. Like, there's something like, the only way that I can describe it is like, they think they're not wired correctly.
Okay.
Like, something's wrong, and they'll just never be able to get these things. But they never give God the opportunity to show himself faithful through the practice of doing what he says to do. And that's why I like Hebrews 11, because it talks about what faith is, but then it shows you how these people demonstrated what they already believed. You know, Noah getting in a boat. That would be like me telling you there's a, I can't even think of a funny name, like just a word you've never heard. Tomorrow it's going to who's a what, and you need to build a thingamabob and tell people about it. You have no idea what those is. So when Noah hears boat and when he hears rain, these were things that had not yet been seen, but he was faithful to prepare these things, or ark, and then they actually came to pass. Well, his, you know, he believed God. That's what brought righteousness to him. But it also brought actual physical deliverance, too, in the ark. Abraham, very similar situation. God showed him the promise. He believed. Romans tells us it was counted to him for righteousness. But then he had also blessings here on this earth. So it's not that we're hardwired. We are all capital, and all the wives will agree, all capital letters, stubborn. That's the problem. It's like people are not willing to actually do what God says must be done. And so then you learn these things and you realize like, wow, the yoke is easy. The burden is light. My problems haven't gone away, but my perspective has changed because I know how all this ends. One day it's either going to be the rapture or my death. It's a guarantee. And regardless of what method that is, I'm going to be with Jesus. So now all the problems we're facing now, it's like there are problems. But they're not threatening my eternal life. They're not threatening this promise that Jesus has secured by his resurrection. And that changes people. You begin to see a change that is inexplainable to the world. You know, the world thinks, well, you've got to do X, Y, and Z, you know, all that kind of stuff, and then you'll get these things. But no, we just need to believe God, take him at his word.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at, being the stubborn part. You know, because I was like, okay, I'm here for a reason. I don't want to be here sometimes. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
And that's also, I'm thankful for with God that he gave me my wife, Grace.
Amen. Because she's off camera.
Yes.
But she's here.
I mean, because without her, I'd be spinning off somewhere, like doing things on my own. Because that's another thing, too. Before I was saved, before I had a relationship with Jesus and God, I was doing things my way.
Yeah.
Like, okay. And not even thinking about going to heaven or hell. It's just like, okay, just trying to just live my life.
Yeah.
How come things aren't working out, or things are harder than they should be, or how come I should have this or deserve that, but I don't have it, you know, because I'm doing things my way.
Mm-hmm. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I mean, that's what a lot of people are doing today. And calling it, you know, this is the American dream or whatever it is. It's like we have to be careful that we're not building ourselves an idol which looks like us and talks like us, you know. It's very possible for people.
Yeah, because even now I'll slip back and like, because Gracie, my wife, will tell you that. Like, oh, he is just so stubborn, you know. But that's another way how I learned. Okay, I need to learn, do it, fail, do it again, fail again, do it. Okay, so this is not working for me.
Right.
Let's try a different direction.
Yeah, it's good then, that God is patient.
He definitely is.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, so then take a breath. All right, God, So this is obviously not working for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try it your way. Sometimes his way is, you should listen to your wife. They're like, okay, God, I will try that.
Just this once. No, that's good.
But more often than that, it works out.
Yeah. So if you were to if you were to see somebody who's gone through a similar set of circumstances, you know, raised in the Catholic Church, had real issues with depression, anxiety, being made fun of, all these different things, they've walked away. What information would you have liked to hear when you were in that position that you can now give to somebody who might be there?
It's easy. Number one, you're not alone.
Yeah.
God is there with you. You may not see him, but he's there. Mm-hmm. Number two, give them the gospel.
Absolutely. That'll solve all their problems.
Yep. And then number three, because I was given the gospel a lot of times, but at the time, that's not the answer I was looking for. Because I was asking questions, but that answer did not match my question.
Right.
It's like, read the Bible.
Yes.
And not through the eyes of what you learned in the Catholic Church. You know, forget that. Just read the Bible.
Plain as it is.
Yeah. With no outside interpretation, you know, well, this is what it actually means. You know, mm-hmm. No, none of that. Start reading the Bible. And then you'll come to realize, you know, you're not alone. You know, Jesus loves you. You know, you believe in Jesus, you are saved. It's not through works, nothing that you can do. And your suffering, your pain, you know, can go away, or, you know, carrying it will be easier.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm glad we had this opportunity, Armando. Thank you so much for coming in. And do you mind if we, like, put your email address in the description and people can write to you if they have questions?
Definitely.
All right, very good. Well, that's going to wrap it up for today, guys. Thanks for tuning in to Bible Line. Make sure to like, comment, share, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, set it to all so every time we post anything, you get an alert. And if you have a Bible question, send it to us, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. God bless you. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.